And welcome to Small Town with Matt Gaff. I'm your host, Matt Gaff. And today we are going to talk about overseers and elders. And basically, what does the Bible say they should have for qualifications, what they can be, and what that kind of looks like. I want to give a shout out to everyone who's listening. I appreciate everybody who's listening on Anchor or Apple or any place, or even on YouTube. And if you want to also look at other places, there's faithcast.com to discover other great Christian podcasts like this one to help you keep your faith. And I love how this small town is just growing more and more. Each week we get more and more downloads, which is awesome. And I appreciate it. So think of this as your new hometown, your home small town, if you want to consider that. So let's dive into overseers and deacons. And the reason we're doing this is because we've, over the past, have gone on and talked about, you know, the gospel, what a church needs to look like, how does some of the stuff happen, what is necessary for it to be a good scripture-based church. And so with that being said, you can have all of the aspects, but if you don't have a board, if you don't have deacons, if you don't have the elders, you don't have that group, core group of people that know and can study the Bible, can give you very good biblical background, then your church is going to fail. You need to have that strong father figure, kind of, which is why it's also elders, another word for an older man type of deal. So we're going to look at what Paul says a elder or overseer in his statement is, which is also a deacon. So it's kind of, there's a lot of different thoughts behind what an overseer, what a deacon, what a elder is. So some people would say a deacon is there to assist, to help with the pastor, to help with the church growth and everything like that. There's a split in some theology where obviously when Paul writes this, it's all directed towards men. So there's some people that think that it can only be a man who can be an elder or deacon or anything like that. There's some that think that women can be deacons, but they can't be elders or overseers. And then there's some churches out there that think it doesn't matter. You could be a male or a female, be in an elder role, or even be a pastor, which I look at what the Bible says. I go by what the Bible reads, and I don't read where there's necessarily a verse here where a woman could be a pastor or a deacon, or not a deacon, but a pastor, an elder, or an overseer. I do think that there is some clout with the deacon part because it is considered a helper and not part of a leadership role, more of just an assistant. So we may actually go into deacons maybe next week. I might do a little bit more research on the deacon aspect of it, because there is a lot of difference between what they consider an overseer and what a deacon is. So the first one here is the overseers and deacons. This is going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And this is basically what they're saying that you need to have. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. So right off the bat, we've already dictated that as far as Paul's standard, it's a man. So, and this is coming from, a newer testament, Bible. It's not from the King James, but the King James version is very strict on that. So even some of the newer Bibles, like you see here, they're going over and saying that, once again, if a man, not woman, so, you know, that's where Paul's going towards. An overseer, then, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife. So once again, a husband is a male aspect, so I think that this draws very well to why elders, overseers need to be men. So there you go. Prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. not addicted to wine or but gentle, peaceful, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And that's a good question. Basically, right here, you just got to have your household, got to be able to teach. So that means you're going to have to be able to look into the Bible, read the Bible, and decipher it and pass that along to other people. Some people are good at that, some people aren't. That doesn't necessarily mean that if you can't be a teacher, you can't be an overseer. That's not necessarily what it is. Because you also says here you need to be temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable. All of those can be there. I mean, if you're not a very good teacher, but you're able to do all that, and you're wise with your money, you're not, you have your children under control, I don't see why, just because you're not the greatest teacher in the world, you're not an overseer. So, and then here's the other part, and not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So, with the overseer, once again, not new to the church, which is, you'll see also in the elders, which is after the break, we'll talk about the elders. But for the overseers and deacons, they're talking here, not new. So you shouldn't be baptized and then a month later, hey, guess what? You're an overseer or you're a deacon. That's not how that should work. There should be some growth time. There needs to be some experience in the Bible, with the church and with the teachings. So you can't necessarily be just right into it. Now, that's not to say that you could be new in your faith at that church, and maybe you just came from another church. You know, like with me, I was baptized. I've been from church to church, but that was because of military and some other issues. So not necessarily meaning that if I go to a new church, that's new to the faith. That's not what they're saying here. They want somebody who's not new in the faith, that just got baptized, to be an overseer. It needs to be someone who's experienced, able to teach, which is kind of where that goes with being in the faith for a while. So that's where the overseer and deacons. Now, when you read this, and this is overseers and deacons. This is not elders, okay? It doesn't mention anything about women, so therefore, you know, it just from glances here, you know, women wouldn't be able to be deacons as well. But I know that some people use the term deacons for other things. So I think what we need to gather from just the overseers and deacons in this specific scripture here is that the deacon that's listed here, that would be some sort of a teacher, some sort of mentor, needs to be a man that's solid in the Bible. Now, we have talked in the past that women can easily teach kids. They can teach women. They can also do other, they can do testimonials, and they can preach a sermon or two, but they shouldn't be your lead pastor or anything like that. So this falls right in line with what most Christian, solid Christian beliefs are. That is the case. So that is overseers and deacons. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hit Titus chapter 1, 5 through 9. That is going to be the elders' qualifications. Now, elders are a little different. Elders are the ones that make and decide on things for the church. Pastors will go to them for guidance, anything to do with the church. Overseers and deacons tend to lead small certain areas. Like you'll have a deacon of music, you'll have a deacon for maintenance, you'll have a deacon for other things. Overseers would oversee certain things. So this is different. An elder is a leadership board of a church. Overseers and deacons are more of just assistants to the pastors and stuff like that. So with that, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with more Small Town with Matt Gaff. All right, and welcome back to Small Town with Matt Gaff. I'm your host, Matt Gaff, and thank you again for hanging in there with the one ad. It really does help, kind of brings in a little bit of support so we can keep the channel going, we can keep the podcast going, and we can branch out into other directories and stuff like that. So I do appreciate everything. So this week, once again, we're talking about overseers, deacons, and elders. So we just talked about the overseer position and the deacons, which are kind of intertwined there. Those are not necessarily the board. That's not the guidance for pastors or guidance for the church. They are there to assist, not to necessarily teach the pastor. Now, they do mention teaching, but that's to teach the congregation or teach classes. So let's go over a little bit of the qualifications for the elders. Now, I know some churches, they have a big long list of what an elder is, what they need to do, what they need to be have associated with them and brought up. Our church has about a page long of qualifications for elder. And basically, it's broken down between verses 5 through 9. Titus 1, 5 through 9 is basically your elder's qualification. They just like to break it down into more modern English. And so that's where that, and they also tie in 1 Timothy, because a lot of the times what an elder is doing is also doing stuff that a overseer does. So like you may oversee the resources or media or something like that. So you still need to have some of the qualifications of an overseer as an elder as well. So it just depends on what kind of church setup you have. So let's go through Titus 1, 5 through 9. It says, for this reason I left you in Crete. So this is Paul talking to Titus. Titus is over at Crete trying to set up a church and trying to set up a elder board, trying to make sure that church has a strong foundation. That you would set in order which remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of rebellion, for the overseer must be above reproach. So once again, overseer and elder sometimes are intermixed, and that's fine. Once again, we find that it has to have a person with one wife, making it not eligible for a woman to be an elder. Let's see, God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faith, with accordance to the teaching. Once again, refute those who contradict the word. Exalt in sound doctrine. So basically what we're talking about here is basically almost a copy of what Paul had done with 1 Timothy. And I think what it is that you have to have qualifications. You have to have people in a good leadership role that know what they're doing, that can read the Bible, interpret the Bible, and make sure they have a good sound judgment. Not a church should not be run by just one person. Needs to be set up by a group, because if for some reason something happens to where someone falls into a trap, that person could take that church, into some really bad places and get them into trouble. We've seen it on the internet tons of time. We've seen churches that have that rose really quick, but if it's not in sound doctrine, it's not in sound biblical studies, it's going to be doomed to fail. That's the thing that's going to happen. So I think, when we talk about elders, it needs to be a man. I think it needs to be someone who has kids, or at least have had, should have kids, because that way they can understand what a family is going through. They can understand maybe what kids have gone through. They need to be able to learn and to guide, because, Christ was the shepherd for us. And as a father, I see that prevalent every day. I'm leading my child to Christ, and just like Christ led us to God. So I think if you have kids, that's a huge step up, and it gives you that that outlook so that you can also have that same principle that, that Christ used on us. I think you need to be able to study the Bible, read the Bible, and understand it through multiple texts. So it's nice to be able to read like the NIV, but if you can also read the King James and you can read some of the other Bibles out there, you can kind of see where they've picked and choose, because not, once again, the Bible is a translation and it's been translated. It's a big game of telephone for thousands of years. So to say that, you know, what is written in one Bible is the same as the other Bible, it's all translations. It's all, and once again, the Bible was also pieced together from Greek, from Roman, from Egyptian, from Sumerian texts. So it's different languages. Different languages have different words and different meanings. So it depends on how it was written in that language as to how it was. So that's where elders, they talk with pastors all the time. They study with the pastors to make sure that the church is focused and sailing in the right direction that they need to, so that, you know, God's message is going in the right direction. And that's where you need to have that group, because it's harder for the devil to work on a group of men than it is one person leading a church. I know of some churches that there's one elder and one pastor. Well, you know, that's okay, but not really. Because once again, you know, your elder is also going to be managing things that your pastor may not. And that's one person. So you need to have that group. You need to have a council. You know, that's what you really need to have. You can't do it alone. But if I say that, but if you're in a situation like some of my listeners might be, where you're in a very small community and you've only got, you know, five families that are meeting, by all means, you know, if you have one elder, that's fine. I know in some countries that's really tough for Christians to get together. And that's where small town feel actually kind of happens, and you may not realize it. But when you meet in such a small little place like that, that's how Christianity started. That's how I got started. We went to a larger church when I was little, and then it broke away from another church, and we went to a small church. We went into a basement of a house. It was just, you know, six or seven families that met there. So I know what a small church can look like, and you can get some really good bonds with people. You can really praise the Lord with that, and you can receive God's blessing through stuff like that. So just because you can't have like six board members on an elder board does not mean that your church is doomed to fail or anything like that. By all means, you know, as long as there's two or more in his name, there he is. And so therefore, you keep doing what you've got to do, and hopefully this podcast will help you at least have a good foundation as to what a church is. We've been going through foundation. So I think we touched on deacons and overseers and elders. So I think what next week we're going to talk about is very important, because there's a movement going on talking about prophets and apostles that are modern day. And I don't want to see churches start incorporating those titles if you can't see it in the scripture, because foundations are normally laid once, and those titles were laid as a foundation. So to say once again that you need to keep having those as offices is a little discerning, because that's a foundation block, not a piece of siding or whatever you want to call it. It's not an add-on. Those particular titles were additions. So that's what we're going to talk about next week. We're going to go over the prophet and apostolic stuff like that, and then hopefully we might be wrapped up with the fundamentals of church, and then we can get back to some more small town stuff, especially with Christmas and Thanksgiving rolling around. So once again, I want to give a shout out to everyone who's listening. I really appreciate it. If you have any concerns or comments or prayer requests or anything like that, go to Facebook to Small Town with Matt Gaff and just post it on there. We'll pray for you, or you can email me. Other than that, I look forward to seeing you and talking to you next week at Small Town with Matt Gaff. See you later.